Hi, my name is John Kim. I'm a therapist who went through his own rebirth many years ago, and I've been documenting my journey ever since, sharing my life lessons and revelations. I believe in casual over clinical, with you instead of at you. I come unrehearsed on purpose because self-help doesn't have to be so complicated. Hey, real quick, I'm launching a newsletter. Actually, I've had a newsletter, but I never put effort into it. Kind of like a toy that you forget about, and it's collecting dust on the top shelf. So I'm taking it down, cleaning it up, putting brand new rims on it, and letting you drive it. So, well, not letting you drive it, giving it to you? I don't know. Anyway, I'm giving away discount codes, Zoom links, for a private hangs. I'm going to just do some creative stuff. Of course, articles, excerpts from my books, and mental challenges, journaling prompts, and also interviews. I'm going to do some interviews with people, people who have amazing stories. And so if you want that newsletter, just go to theangrytherapist.com and you will see it there. So I had a revelation recently. And, okay, let me back up real quick. So, I grew up with fast food. I grew up eating McDonald's. And, you know, in the 80s, fast food wasn't fast food. Meaning, we were eating those TV dinners, right? And that's like, I think that's worse than fast food. Remember those from the 50s? Like, they got popular in the 50s. And then in the 80s, like Swanson, there was like fried chicken and other shit. And, I mean, that wasn't even real food, I think. Anyway, so as a kid, fast food was almost a luxury. And it was also very American. I remember when Chicken McNuggets first came out, and my neighbor, he was eating them. And they had these little dipping sauces. And I was so jealous. I wanted them so bad. But the image I see in my head of, like, McDonald's is, like, America. My point is, I grew up, my house, by the way, was like a liquor store. My parents were never home, and they let us buy whatever we wanted to. They thought that was what being American looked like. So we had all the cereals, you know, Twinkies, cupcakes. I mean, it was really, our cupboards were, it was like a liquor store. And so all the kids came over and used me. So I have this palette of fast food. And so as I got older, I loved things like burgers. And my mom, after working at like it was called a Stop and Go, but it was like a 7-Eleven. And she was held up many times. She saved up money and bought this little hamburger shack in Burbank. And so I grew up, and I was around 14 at the time. Grew up skating and eating burgers. I mean, burgers were on demand. I just had to make a phone call, and I got, you know, fries, chili fries, burgers. And so I grew up with that. And so as an adult, I've always craved and loved, you know, burgers. And one thing I've realized, and this is my revelation, sorry, it's a little long-winded. In my head, imagine the burgers that I used to eat and how good they tasted. And then I'd go get one. And, you know, I make sure the reviews are legit and they're amazing. And, you know, I don't just go to random places, but various burger places, mom and pop shops, you know, whatever. And I'm always disappointed. And I don't think it's the burger. I think it's my palate. I think that at 49, I can't eat a double Western bacon cheeseburger with large fries and a Coke, and I don't get the same high, I guess you would say, because it is like a drug. I don't get the same satisfaction as I did, you know, when I was in high school or younger. And what's interesting is every time I eat a burger, I'm disappointed. I'm like, oh, this is greasy. I don't even like this. A few days later, I imagine again the sensation, the dopamine, the satisfaction I got from the burger in the 80s, 90s. And then I'm out in the car looking for a burger place again. almost like an addict. It's really strange. And what I've realized is, A, this is a pattern. And I think this is a pattern that I have with not only burgers, using burgers as a way in, but in other areas of my life. And the pattern being this, playing back old memories, you remembering the feeling of it, it felt amazing. And so you go try to get that for your life, even though you know it's no longer honest to you, even though you know it's not what it used to be. You know, another good example is donuts. I, like everyone else, love donuts. And I used to bring them to work every Friday as my Fuck It Friday. That's where that whole thing started, at a nonprofit. And I used to inhale like three or something, four. And these days, maybe one donut at the most, and I start to feel sick. So my palate has changed. What I enjoy has changed. And it's not accepting that, but it's holding on to the memories of what I used to like. And so what I'm really doing is I'm kind of living in the past. You know, I'm not allowing myself to create the new. I'm not allowing myself to enjoy something new and different. And that may be something that I haven't experienced. So, you know, like things like steak, I used to eat meat every day, I used to eat bacon every day. That I don't do that anymore. And so why am I still driving to burger shacks when it's not really something that I like? I think it's the nostalgia. I don't know what it is, but you know, there's also this acceptance piece, accepting that, listen, you have changed. It's okay that you don't like a burger. And maybe also, maybe subconsciously, the locker rooms have given me this definition that, like, you know, steaks and big burgers equals being a man or strength, or, you know, I don't know. Maybe some of that is at play as well. And that's why I keep gravitating toward things that I don't enjoy as much anymore. Anyway, I'm going to segue a little bit because I have this other point. So that's kind of the the revelation and the I don't want to say negative, but it's spotting what I want to accept and correct. But then I also want to flip it a little bit. And speaking of things that brought you a lot of joy and new experiences and remembering how amazing things were, especially the first time. I was thinking about when I first got head. And I wasn't young. I'm a late bloomer, so it was like I was in high school. I think I was like 17, and it was a summer, and my friend, my best friend, he was dating some girl, and her like cousin or her friend was visiting, and I know she kind of had a crush on me. We didn't really do anything, and then one day we were at his house, and I think I was making out with her or something in his bedroom. He was this Korean kid, had this, like, you know, Korean covers and shit. I just remember them because they were yellow. They were like bright yellow. Koreans are the only people that make blankets in bright, like Gatorade colors. Anyway, they're summer blankets, and the thing about these blankets were they're almost like polyester. I don't know. I mean, they're things that don't allow you to breathe, right? They're not like they're thin, but they're like garbage bags. And so we were making out, and I don't know how I got to how we got to even talking about it, but I was like, yeah, I've never gotten oral sex before. I've never gotten head. And if I remember correctly, I think I did the whole kind of like feel sorry for me, like, you know, can you sponsor me kind of thing. And she's like, oh, you've never gotten. I said, no. And she's like, oh, okay. And then I could tell she was hesitant, but also wanted to give me that gift. it was very sweet. It was like, I could sense the inner conflict in her. Like, should I do this for him? But then I don't want him to judge me, you know? So she started going down. And I remember when her head disappeared under the Korean blankets, thinking, oh my gosh, she's not going to be able to breathe. You know, it's these blankets aren't breathable. And I felt bad. And right when she started doing it, my fucking friend bangs on the door and says, all right, we got to go. Let's go. And I remember two things. One, the feeling of it, because when you experience something like that, when you've never experienced it, right, the first time, it gets unexplainable. I mean, it felt, the best way to describe it was like, you know when you're kind of cold and then you jump into a jacuzzi, like really slowly? You know, not jump in, but like, you know, the foot, shins, thighs, as you kind of sink in, lower yourself into a jacuzzi or a hot tub. That's what it felt like. All like focused on my penis. That feeling compacted into, I mean concentrated. It's that feeling of you when you're cold. Think about when you're cold, or like if you're up in the woods and then you put on your bathing suit and you're going to sink into a hot jacuzzi. That feeling concentrated into your penis. That's what it felt like. And by the way, many people have had first time head experiences and they were not good. So obviously it's not for everyone. Meaning some people weren't ready, or they weren't comfortable in their body, or they allowed someone to do that, not for them, but for their, you know, whoever they had a crush on, and they just kind of white knuckled it. So that's not the kind of experience I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you actually enjoyed it, or you got to a place where you finally were able to relax and now you enjoy it, right? I went somewhere else, you know, a different dimension. That's how it felt. Anyway, so it was only for a split second. So it was half of that feeling, the ecstasy feeling. And then the other feeling was panic and anger, not panic, but anger and frustration that my friend is now banging on the door, stopping this new feeling, the best feeling I've ever had in my life, at that point in my life as a 17-year-old. It was the best sensation I've ever felt as a 17-year-old. And I only felt it for about 4 seconds, and then a bang on the door, and my friend is now interrupting this. So it was an interesting feeling of ecstasy and what the fuck, you know, anger. Ecstasy and anger, that's what it was. It was very confusing. My point in sharing this story is for me to leave with a question for you, and that is, when's the last time you did something for the first time? When's the last time you experienced something? And it doesn't have to be of that magnitude, but when's the last time you experienced something where there was some kind of awe, some kind of flow? Maybe seeing art. One of my memories that I that's kind of like this is when I went to Florence, Italy, after a divorce, and I was standing in front of the David. And I've never cried because I was moved by art before. This is the first time. And maybe it was just where I was at that time and I was open to that experience. But I got watery-eyed just looking at art. It was magnificent and beautiful and timeless and I don't know. And then I also jumped into the Mediterranean Sea for the first time. And there was something different about that as opposed to growing up in, you know, California and swimming in the Pacific Ocean. It was warmer. It was just, it was a different energy. And the oceans in Italy, the beaches with all those umbrellas, that was a whole different experience. So when was the last time you did something for the first time? And if it's been a long time, what would doing something for the first time look like? And again, it doesn't have to be convincing your best friend's girlfriend's friend to go down on you, or traveling to exotic beaches. It could be something maybe that you experienced back in the day that you want to recreate. Maybe it's something you haven't done in a while, or maybe it's something or an activity that you've always wanted to do, but you haven't had the time or given yourself the time to do it. I think I just posted, I read it somewhere and I posted it on Instagram because it made me think, and it's a little cheesy, but it's I still liked it. It's a quote. It says, you'll live two lives, and the second life will start when you realize you only have one life, or something like that. And I'm saying this because life is, life is short. I mean, life is long, but also life is short. And you're on this earth one time. Give yourself, give your body a new experience. When's the last time you had some kind of fresh imprint where you realized that there's color in this world? And it's not just because we fall into the mundane and the routine and we get grayed out. So give your life a jump start. Go do something, hopefully today or this week, that is new and different. Hey, and email me. No, really, I would love to know what you did, no matter how big or small. My email's really simple. It's theangrytherapist@gmail.com. Email me. Let me know what you did. I would love to hear about it. Thank you for listening. Be well. Hey, if you have a passion for helping others and you want to create a more meaningful career or add to your current skill set, it's time to become a life coach with Lumia. When I became a life coach many years ago, there wasn't anything like this. So I developed this program alongside with Noel Cordo, Lumia Coach Training. And it's amazing. It's 100% live and online, meaningful, evidence-based education, real people, real community, ICF accredited too, with 20 diverse instructors and a thriving alumni community. Go to theangrytherapist.com and click on Become a Coach and explore Lumia Coach Training. I'll see you in class.